Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
We are live, people, and welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 47, and I'm your host, Funk Roberts, and welcome to the Over 40 Podcast, which is a podcast specifically designed for men over the age of 40, 50, 60, 70, where we talk about health. We talk about fitness. We talk about workouts. We talk about nutrition. We talk about mindset. We talk about recovery. And we always, always focus on ways to naturally boost our testosterone levels, which are naturally decreasing every single year. And I'm your host, Funk Roberts. I'm a 51-year-old former professional athlete turned transformation specialist specifically for men over 40. This is what I do. I help you guys get into the best shape of your entire lives in your twilight years, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And today I'm excited because today we have our guest, Dr. Jockers. And, you know, with what's happening right now, COVID-19, the coronavirus, lockdowns, people dying, people trying to get, you know, trying to improve their health. You know, I think it's really, really important that we continue to do everything that we can to help us improve our health, improve our immune system, you know, and, there's a lot of stuff going out there, a lot of foolishness about, you know, what's going to cure this or what have you. And we've got no cure. And, you know, the world that we know is not going to be the same anymore. You know, things are not going to go back to normal, you know, but one thing that we have control over is our health. You know, we have control over of our health, of what we can do with our health, of improving our health on all levels, no matter where we're starting. We have that control. We can exercise. We can, you know, eat healthier, stay away from bad foods. We can, you know, learn what supplementation will help us to improve our immune and improve our health. We have that control, and we have more time than ever to even focus on that. There's really no excuse. But there, like I said, there's a lot of information out there specifically regarding, you know, what to do in order to get healthier. You know, what steps can we do? And the biggest thing right now is our immune system. That's our biggest thing. We need to really focus on strengthening the immune system on all levels. You know, if that's the first thing we start doing, then the byproduct will be, you know, getting better habits, creating better habits, better and healthier habits to create a better healthy lifestyle, so that when you go back to work or when you go back to school or when you go back to wherever you go back to, your immune is healthy and strong enough to handle what's going to happen. Because listen, when we go back to work, that doesn't mean we're going back and the coronavirus or COVID-19 is gone. That just means that we're going to slowly start to get people back so the economy can start to kick up. But that doesn't say that we're not going to, you know, catch, you know, this respiratory disease. So you, specifically, if you're one of those people who are coming back to work, you really need to be focused on like, okay, man, I'm going back to work. I better get into shape, man. I better get my health up because, you know, I got to travel. I got to be with other people. I got to do everything I can so that I don't have to bring this back home to my family, to my parents, to myself. So today I'm excited because we got Dr. David Jockers. Now, if you guys don't know who David Jockers is, stay tuned. This is going to be amazing. I love this guy, man. I love it. He's a doctor of natural medicine. He's a functional nutritionist, and he's a corrective care chiropractor. So he's got like you know, he's a nutrition, he's a medicine, and he's a chiropractor, you know what I mean? Like, so a lot of, like, he's got the body, he's got the nutrition, and he's got the overall medicine. He's really, really, really smart guy, really amazing guy. And he actually runs one of the hottest natural health websites called drjockers.com. And I like that website, man. I go on there a lot to learn about autoimmune, because he's a specialist in the autoimmune and immunity. And he gets like over 1 million monthly visitors. He's been on Dr. Oz. He's been on the Hallmark Home and Family. Like, so he's out there. And he's also, he has a best-selling book called The Keto Metabolic Breakthrough. Now, I know, you know, we kind of talked about keto not being something that us guys over 40 should be focused on, obviously, because it takes away some of the macros. But he also does fasting. Right. He does fasting, and he has his own podcast called Dr. Jocker's Functional Nutrition Podcast, which is great. So I'm really excited to have him on. And also, just because Dr. Jocker's is awesome, and I want to hook you guys up with some cool stuff. If you go to over40shred.com/Dr. Jocker's, you're going to get his autophagy ebook absolutely free. It's a 59-page book. It's incredible, because again, we have a lot of inflammatory diseases like heart disease, cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's, etc. And this book is going to help us or help you learn all the things that you can do to help with inflammation. So go to over40shred.com/Dr. Jockers. Make sure you stop this, or, you know, pause this right now. Go grab it. So before you forget, over40shred.com/Dr. Jockers. That's Dr. D-R and then J-O-C-K-E-R-S. That's D-R, J-O-C-K-E-R-S. Grab that, get it, and then download it, and then come back here and listen to this incredible episode with my man, Dr. David Jockers. We are live, we are live, we are live, brothers, and welcome to the Over 40 Alpha podcast. This is episode number 46. I'm super excited about this episode because we have a doctor on the show, Dr. Jockers, David Jockers. What's up, my man? How are you doing today?
Doing great, Funk. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for being on. And I, you know, the guys know who you are. I just gave them a great intro so they know the background. And, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit today about the autoimmune and what's happening, you know, with what's happening in the world with COVID-19, you know, different countries around the world are treating it differently. First, let me ask where are you at and what's going on where you live?
Yeah. So I'm in Atlanta, Georgia in the U.S. here. And I mean, obviously they, at the time we're doing this interview, it's what, May 5th, 7th? I don't remember the date, but somewhere around there. So we're just starting to open up, right? So we just did this, you know, long quarantine, and we're opening up. And fortunately, my state's being a little aggressive with, as far as opening up. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, really, when I think about viruses, bacteria, different infections, you know, every breath we take, Funk, there's literally 1,000 microbes, different unique species of microbes coming in and going out. Right? We're constantly surrounded. We can't get rid of bacteria, viruses, different pathogens. They're all around us. We have to coexist with them. And kind of like exercise trains our muscles. Like if you look under a microscope at what happens to your muscles when you are doing intense training, it doesn't look good, right? In fact, if we were to test your high sensitivity C-reactive protein, like right after you finish working out, it would look like you had a heart attack. Right. Okay, but obviously we know that it's healthy because your body adapts. It's about your recovery to it. Well, it's really the same thing when it comes to pathogens that we're exposed to. And pathogens means disease-causing agents. Okay, really, they're necessary for us to build a strong immune system. So they actually prime us. You know, we don't want to do something like jump in sewage, you know, eat rotten food. Then we get too much of pathogen load and that can make us sick. Obviously, that's not what we want. But we need some level of exposure to it. And when it comes to microbes, I always tell people the job of microbes, of these different microorganisms, is to break down decaying matter. That's their job, right? That's why, you know, we're able to, that's the whole cycle of life. Our job as human beings is to not be decaying matter, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to promote life, health, vibrancy. We need to promote, you know, optimal health. So that way we live in harmony with them and they actually make us stronger. And that's really what our goal and what the idea of this is. And so I know we're going to talk about immune supporting strategies. I mean, couldn't be more important, you know, with everybody talking about whether it's COVID or the flu or whatever it is. I mean, the vast majority of people that are dying, and every death is tragic. But the vast majority of people are dying are people that have comorbidities, meaning that they have one or more disease processes. Okay. And really the truth is we don't have to get disease, right? And so I know we were talking about the difference between what's common and what's normal, right? Mm. And so a lot of times people think when you get older, it's normal to get diabetes, heart disease, you know, to have different health issues and need medications. That's not normal. That's common. That happens to a lot of people in our society, but it's definitely not normal. You know, we can live 80, 90, 100 years without having a disease process. Okay. And that's really what we need to be trying to do is do our best to be healthy and strong and vibrantly alive.
But you said comorbidity. What are some of those that people are having that they're succumbing to COVID?
Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, lung issues like COPD, cancer, right? Different issues like that. You know, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that are very sick, that are suffering, mm-hmm. that are managing these diseases with medications, getting by in their lives, but they're not healthy. Okay. Right. And unfortunately, in our society, we've caught on to this idea that you're healthy if you're able to do the things you need to do during the day. Like somebody mm-hmm. with diabetes might be able to get around and, you know, go to work and do all the things they need to do, but they're definitely not healthy. In fact, their body, they're accelerating the aging process in their body every single day that they walk around with that condition.
Right.
And so we need to get to the root cause, address it, get the body healthy, strong, vibrantly alive. And then that's what's going to give us the best survival advantage. You know, we want to make our body hard to kill. And that's really what it comes down to. Okay. The people, unfortunately, 99% of the people that are passing away from something like COVID, and it's the same with the flu, right? There's always outliers. Like with the flu, unfortunately, I think it was something like 150 kids died this year from the flu, right? Which is a tragedy, okay? That's a lot more than COVID. We don't hear about that all over the news. It's a tragedy. I hate that for the families, mm-hmm. right? But those are outliers in comparison to the vast majority of people that are dying from the flu, which are people in nursing homes, people with chronic diseases, people that are most likely going to die within a year of something anyways. Okay. Right. And so ultimately what we need to be thinking is I want to make my body hard to kill. And when we do that, when that's our mindset, then, you know, the virus doesn't stand a chance. In fact, actually being exposed to the virus will make you stronger, more resilient. Because stress, it's that concept, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
Well, we need, stress is hormetic, meaning that small bouts of stress in a controlled environment that allow you, when you also have time to rest and recover, makes you stronger and more resilient to the next stress. The body is built for survival. So if it senses that, you know, it's being exposed to different pathogens, it's going to adapt and create a stronger, more resilient immune system, kind of like exercise, right? I know you're a huge fan of exercise and rest and recovery. I mean, those are your huge principles.
Right.
And so when you're exercising, you want to beat yourself to shreds, right? But it's only for a short period of time. Yeah. And then you want to rest and recover, really focus on that recovery. And then your body says, I never know when this guy's going to get up. And, you know, the body doesn't know the difference between us running away from a lion or some guy with a spear chasing us or lifting weights, right? And sprinting. Right. Doesn't know the difference. All it knows is for survival, I need to be really strong. I need to be very, very quick. I need to, not have a whole lot of body fat on me. I need to be able to perform really well. You know, I need to have a lot of strength in my muscles in order to survive. And it's going to adapt in order to do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that analogy. It's perfect, exactly. What I tell these guys, like, we're destroying we're breaking down the muscle, but we have to, like, stimulation day is when you're working out. You're stimulating, you're breaking down. Growth day is during the recovery day. So you just mentioned something that I just want to get clarity, not for me, but for everyone listening, is you said you need some exposure to that. But you're not getting exposure if you have those comorbidities, right? hormone bitters.
Yes. Good. Good.
Like you got to be healthy first.
That's right. That's right. Good point. I mean, if you are really, really sick, you do want to limit your exposure, right? You do. I mean, you can't get rid of all exposure. That's impossible. You can't live in a bubble.
Right.
But, you know, to pathogenic agents, you certainly would want to. That's, those are the people that really, you know, shouldn't be socially distancing, are the people that are sick. Okay. And then, you know, as you improve your health, it's okay. You know, like you want to introduce some level of exposure because that makes your body stronger and more resilient. Right. And again, we can't escape it. So at some point it's going to reach, you know, the majority of our population, whether it's COVID or the flu every year. I mean, all of us are exposed to these things. Mm-hmm. The people that are going to be able to adapt and become more resilient are people who are healthy. So if you're listening and you are sick, you're not healthy. You know, the good thing is when it comes to diabetes, right? Type 2 adult onset diabetes, I mean, that's something you can literally reverse in a month, right?
Totally, yeah.
I've seen it hundreds of times, okay? Totally preventable, you know, totally reversible. And, you know, if you just take the right steps, right action steps, you can do that. If you're obese, you know, you can reverse these things, right?
Right.
If you have heart disease, I mean, you can do a lot of things that you can do to help improve that condition. And so you just got to take action.
Okay, so how do we improve our immune? I mean, I've actually said boost immune a couple of times. I'm realizing you don't want to boost your immune system. You just want to,
right?
Like I catch myself like,
No, that's true, Funk.
We're not trying to boost.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Right? It's really about balancing your immune system.
Right.
The term boost immunity is an incorrect term. And a lot of people with autoimmune conditions where their immune system is attacking itself get concerned when they say, oh, this herb boosts the immune system, I better stay away from it, right?
Right.
Because they have an overactive immune response. It's really about balancing. If your immune system is out of balance, you may end up, like if it's hyperactive, then what happens is you end up creating either autoimmune or chronic inflammatory conditions like allergies, asthma, stuff like that. You see, Funk, throughout the history of mankind, systemic infections, sepsis, right? Basically infectious microbes that got into our bloodstream, spread throughout our body and destroyed vital organs, killed more people throughout the history of mankind than anything else. You think about like bacterial meningitis or something like that. So our body is adapted because the human body is constantly adapting and getting stronger and more resilient. So nobody dies of bubonic plague now, right? Even though that killed half the world, right? Because the people that are alive now are resilient, right? They built the immune defense and they're resistant to that. And the way that we've adapted to these infectious microbes is that we've created this process called inflammation. And we think about inflammation, we think it's a bad thing, but it actually saves our lives every single day. Now the concept though is having a healthy inflammatory response. So we're not always trying to reduce inflammation. We're trying to have a balanced inflammatory response. So if we don't have that, we end up with autoimmune condition or chronic inflammatory condition, allergies, asthma. And if our immune system is not potent enough, then we're more at risk for getting a viral infection, bacterial infection, or developing something like cancer, right? Cancer is, again, a deficit in our immune system. So we want that balanced immune response. And there's a lot of different things we can do. I would say the very low-hanging fruit, let's start with that. The easiest things you can start to do, number one, take out sugar and processed foods. We know that sugar literally cripples your immune system. So if you have a blood sugar of 120, it reduces what's called your phagocytic index, or that means the ability of your white blood cells to actually scavenge, almost like Pac-Man, and eat viruses, bacteria, and different pathogens, right? So they go around, they eat these things and destroy them. It reduces it by 75%. So if your blood sugar is at 120, you have 25% of the capacity of your immune system, as opposed to if your blood sugar was under 100, okay? Right. And now a lot of people, you know, if you test your fasting blood glucose in the morning and you're over 126, we call that diabetes, right? That's when you're diagnosed with diabetes. And so you might test it in the morning and you're at, you know, 95 or something like that, a healthier range.
Okay.
However, for a lot of people, they end up having very high blood sugar after their meals. We call that postprandial glucose levels. So for a lot of people, they eat a meal, right? And then all of a sudden blood glucose goes way up 200, right? And then it takes 3 hours for it to drop down because they're insulin resistant. And so during that period of time, those 3 hours, they're crippling their immune system, making themselves much more susceptible to getting some sort of infection. So blood sugar stability, blood sugar control is so important when it comes to keeping your immune system balanced. So obviously taking out simple sugars, processed foods, different things like that right off the bat, having a regular exercise routine or movement routine. You know, I always tell people just like you, I mean, I'm a huge fan of your exercise advice. I think it's spot on. You need to move every day and then train intensely, right? Like somewhere between 3 to maybe up to 5 times a week, right? Somewhere in that range, depending on, you know, how well you're recovering.
Right.
And so that's huge. And then sleep plays a critical role in your blood sugar stability. If you're not sleeping well, you can actually eat a healthy diet, very healthy diet, and exercise regularly and still develop type 2 diabetes. Can you believe that? Yeah. In fact, night workers, people that work overnight, much higher rates of type 2 diabetes, night shift workers. And that's because when you're resting, when you're sleeping, you're optimizing your sleep, you're balancing out your circadian rhythms. And so you're going to have more normalized cortisol levels. And cortisol is a glucocorticoid. Okay. What that means is its job, its main function is to increase blood sugar, right? And that's important for, like, you know, when we're exercising, for example, we need that quick energy. Okay. In the morning, it gives us the wakefulness, right? But if it's constantly up, right, and constantly increasing the blood sugar, then obviously that's going to impair our immune system. And so a lot of people end up with those issues. So yeah, right off the bat, doing everything you can to optimize your sleep. And I talk a lot about sleep hygiene. And so what that means is, number one, you know, making sure your room is as dark as possible. Okay, that's huge. Making sure your room is cool. I like to sleep around 65 degrees with an overhead fan, right? That cool, dark type of environment is really good for good sleep. I like an eye mask. I don't know if you do that.
No.
Oh man, you got to try that. Get an eye mask. You can go to Amazon. You know, they're not expensive. You get an eye mask that you can put on, and it helps sleep deep because it's now blocking any sort of ambient light that might be coming in from getting into your eyes, right? So put an eye mask on. Other things are, you know, definitely trying to get to bed at a good time. Okay. So growth hormone, human growth hormone, not only does that help us with fat burning, okay, and muscle building, but on top of that, human growth hormone is really important for our immune system. And we're going to secrete, we're going to get the highest amount of human growth hormone secretion between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., particularly if we're sleeping. So I always tell people, do your best to try to get in bed by 10, at the latest 11, so you can get the most amount of growth hormone. So that's going to be really key. Trying to get sun exposure during the day, believe it or not, really helps with good sleep at night. So getting exercise, but not too late. Okay. So I always recommend, you know, finishing exercise at least 4 hours before going to bed. Okay. Is ideal, right? If you can do it in the morning or midday or late afternoon, that's going to be best. And then trying to get good sun exposure throughout the day at some point during the day really helps your circadian rhythm. First thing in the morning when the sun is rising is a great time to really set your circadian rhythm, give you more wakefulness during the morning. I always tell people, if you want to have great energy during the day, watch the sunrise. If you want to have great sleep at night, watch the sunset.
Totally. You know? I love it. It's funny because, you know, I'm black, obviously. And whenever I take off my shirt to shoot videos, I have a farmer's tan. My face is super dark and my body. So a lot of people, they always get those comments, this is the first time I've ever seen a black guy with a farmer's tan, it's not, you know, on the arm. And I laugh because the reason why I have this, the reason why, yes, we do tan is because I look at the sun every day. Like I stand there. Yeah. So in the winter here in Toronto, obviously I have my clothes on, like I have my jacket on, but I'm still staring at the sun. Like I get it every single day, specifically because of my color. I was kidding. We don't produce vitamin D as much, you know, as others do. So it's funny that, and so I have to explain that every time, but even when I look at my face is literally black and my body's like light brown. It's hilarious. Anyways.
That's hilarious. I'm glad you're doing that. Getting that sun exposure though is so important. And then not eating too late at night either. So you should stop eating at least 3 hours before you go to bed for optimal digestion. I mean, your schedule may not always allow these things, but this is what you optimally want to be doing to prioritize good sleep. So that's the low hanging fruit. Really trying to clean up the diet, get the sugars, right? Excess carbs, things like that out of there. And moving your body on a daily basis, and then really prioritizing sleep, doing your best, obviously, to keep stress under control. That's very important. Being in a state of gratitude, actually, it's one of the best things you can do for your immune system. When you're grateful, you help to boost up what's called your T helper cells and your cytotoxic T cells, which basically help kill off pathogens, but then also help prevent you from attacking your own body. They help mitigate or regulate, modulate, balance. These are all kind of similar terms, balance the inflammatory response.
So talk a little bit about gratitude. Talk about how people can implement that in order to help.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, first thing when you wake up in the morning, right? I think that's a great time to start patterning your day, right? And so you can start by just thinking about one thing, you know, and just creating a ritual where you're like, okay, I'm thankful that I'm healthy right now. I'm thankful that I have a bed to sleep on, right? So you can start with simplistic things, okay? Especially if you're somebody that maybe struggles with depression, struggles with negativity, then you got to start really, really small, okay? You can't expect, you know, the everything in your life to be great for you to be grateful, right? You can just say, hey, I had a bed to sleep on last night. That's where you start. And journaling about it too can be very helpful, okay? Especially if you notice these patterns of negativity, which all of us get. I mean, every single person on the planet, we all have patterns, you know, or certain times, certain seasons where we might feel a little bit more negative, things maybe a little bit more challenging for us. And we got to really, really dedicate ourselves to some sort of gratitude practice. Okay. For me, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in God. And, you know, and so that's really the source of my hope and my gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so I wake up, I go outside in the morning and I wake up before anybody else in my house and I stretch and I just say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Right. And I just continue to repeat that. I start thinking about the people in my life, my wife, my children, my house, all the different things while I'm stretching my body. Right. And so kind of just limbering myself up. That's what I'm doing. That's my morning routine. And it really gets me amped up, right? It really gets me in a state of peace, but also excited to take on my day. So I think that's a great practice. And you can do it in the evening as well. Doing something similar, in the evening before you go to bed. Very, very important.
Yeah. I mean, gratitude is a huge, I'm just going to pull out my gratitude journal here. It's huge for me because, I mean, like I have a journal here. I've been, you know, right now the journal, sorry, it's just like, you know, there's tons of stuff on my gratitude journal.
Love it,
but
man.
It never started like that. It started at one or two things. You know, I've got my Bible that I read every morning and it's a ritual. It's literally the day does not start without that ritual, because I understand, you know, that once I have that, then I can attack everything. If I don't have that, then I can't attack everything. So yeah, it's great, specifically during these times too, when a lot of people are starting to get more depressed, or, you know, it's here in Toronto, we still can't, you know, go out as much as we can. Whenever we want to, you know, go grocery shopping, it's literally a 3-hour tour because we got to stand in line, or we got to go to two or three different places to get what we want. So we just know that that's going to, it's now normal. Like that's now become normal. 3 hours, honey, let's go get in the car, put on our podcast, do whatever we want to do and, you know, spend some time together. But the gratitude thing is a great low hanging fruit that, you know, not many people do, but not many people know the strength of it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've just talked about a number of things that will make a big difference in your life that don't cost anything.
Right. Right. You know? So we've got the low hanging fruit. What's the next level after
that? Yeah. So as we go into the next level, I'm a big fan of intermittent fasting, right? I know we talked about that on my podcast, right? So, you know, I'm a huge fan of that. I think that fasting is really the way, I mean, when we start to intermittent fast, what our body does is a process called autophagy, where it actually eats old damaged cellular organelles. So within every cell, we have things like mitochondria and the endoplasmic reticulum, and the mitochondria is what produces all the energy in the cells. When we fast, our body will go in, break down damaged mitochondria, and create new, healthier, stronger, more stress-resilient mitochondria. So it's like recycling, taking out the trash, creating new, healthy stuff. And a lot of cells in our body, in fact, you know, we're talking about COVID, so everybody's thinking about viruses. There's many people that are walking around with a lot of cells that are viral infected. Viruses are very common, and they live within our cells, right? And so fasting is kind of a natural way to help get rid of viral infected cells in your body. Okay. Right. So I'm a big fan of like some sort of an intermittent fasting practice. I know that you implement that with in your programs as people start to advance. I think you said month three, you start looking at like a 16-8 fast. And I'm also a big fan of getting people doing something like a 1 day a week, full day fast, like a dinner to dinner fast, right? Or lunch to lunch, whatever works best for you. Okay. And you're just drinking water. You can drink herbal tea, you can drink black coffee, you're trying to just basically not take in any calories. Okay. And if, you know, for whatever reason, you just don't feel like you're able to do that, you can do a lesser amount of calories. Like there's things like bone broth fast, for example, right? Or do like a green juice. You know, a lot of people will do like, you know, like a cleansing green juice or something like that. They'll do like a liver cleanse, you know? So you could do something like that for a day. Okay. It builds mental resilience, spiritual resilience, right? You know, the Bible talks a lot about fasting. Yes. Even Plato and Aristotle and all these great philosophers talked about how they fasted for mental and physical efficiency. Mm-hmm. Your body, when you fast, your body gets more efficient at using energy, right? And it's great for the brain because it'll boost these compounds called ketones, right? And a lot of people have heard about the ketogenic diet, which is something I personally practice. I enjoy that. But you don't even have to practice that to get ketones elevated. You can fast. When we fast, our body starts to burn our own body fat for energy, right? So our glycogen starts to lower our stored sugar. And now we start burning body fat. And fatty acids can't cross the blood-brain barrier. So our brain either needs glucose or ketones for fuel.
Right.
As the glucose goes down, oftentimes we'll experience things like hypoglycemia, where we might have a headache, you know, we might not, might feel irritable, things like that, hangry, like we've all experienced. What happens to your body, though, is going to get better at dealing with this, right? It adapts just like anything else. So it gets better at dealing with this, and it starts producing from our own body fat ketones. And these ketones are water-soluble molecules that cross the blood-brain barrier and fuel the brain. And they're a really clean fuel source because they produce significantly more energy than glucose and a lot less metabolic waste. When we burn sugar for fuel, it's a dirty energy. Mm. It's important because, you know, when we're trying to exercise at high intensities, we can't burn, we need oxygen to burn fat for fuel. So we don't have enough oxygen. So we need to burn that glucose, get quick energy. Right. But when we're at rest, it's really advantageous to have some elevated ketones because that's a cleaner energy source. It doesn't accelerate the aging process like burning sugar all day does.
Right.
And so those ketones also actually downregulate inflammation in our brain, right? Which is really powerful. And they're really, really good for supporting good mental function and helping the immune system. Because again, we're getting that blood sugar down. Yeah. So the immune system now, when our blood sugar is down and stable, our immune system's really able to ramp up and do more work. So intermittent fasting is great. So that's a little bit more advanced step. Also a huge fan of certain supplements, vitamin D. Okay. Vitamin D, super critical. You were talking about how, you know, you're African American, you're living in Toronto, completely out of your ancestral, you know, your genetic heritage, right? Totally. Black people shouldn't live in Toronto, right?
No, black people shouldn't be. Black people should be in the tropics.
That's right. Exactly. You got it. And so obviously, you know, you need a lot of sun exposure because you're dark in order to produce enough vitamin D.
Right.
And so taking vitamin D supplements, very, very key. And you can get your vitamin D. It's a 25 hydroxy vitamin D test that you want to get done. And you can look at what your ranges are. Ideal range for good health is somewhere between 50 and 100 nanograms per milliliter. Okay.
Yeah.
most people, and in fact, deficiency is when you're under 30, okay? However, between that 30 to 50 range, right, you're not optimal, right? So you want to be in the optimal range. I know you talk about optimal testosterone levels. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with vitamin D. You could be at 32 and they'll say you're normal, you're good, right? But you're not optimal, right? So you want to get that in a 50 to 100 nanograms per milliliter range. Most people, especially African Americans, and unfortunately with COVID, from the reports I've heard, it's hitting the African Americans more so than it is white people. Yeah. And to me, that would make sense because African Americans living, you know, in the United States and staying indoors, you know, in our society, you know, today or in Canada, staying indoors are going to be lower in vitamin D just naturally.
Totally.
Unless they supplement. So they're going to be more at risk because vitamin D is really, really important for regulating your immune system. So what I recommend is supplementing with 1,000 international units per 25 pounds of body weight.
Okay.
So that should be your supplementation. Okay. If you want kind of optimal ranges, I guess you could say, if you really want a good immune boost, you could do something like 2,000 international units per 25 pounds of body weight, right?
Okay.
Or if you were very low, like if you're very deficient, you're at 10 nanograms per milliliter, do 2,000 international units per 25 pounds of body weight until you get up into the optimal ranges.
Right. How do we get that checked? Just like aside from...
Yep. If you go to your doctor, right? Yeah. I mean, you can, a lot of times you can go into, you know, different places and they'll just give you like a referral to get it done. Okay. There's even finger pricks that you can get for vitamin D. Okay. But if you're getting like your standard blood work done, okay, your yearly physical or whatever it is, okay, complete blood count, liver enzymes, always ask, hey, can I get vitamin D tested as well?
Huge.
And they typically will run this panel, the 25 hydroxy, but it's just 25-OH. That's the main vitamin D test to run. Okay. And so, yeah, you just ask for that test to be done. And, you know, for the listeners, you're telling them to get their testosterone done. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's good to get these things run every 3 to 4 months.
Right.
Until you're, you know, at your optimal level, it's a good idea to be checking those things every 3 to 4 months. If you're able to do it every month, great. Right.
Okay.
But, you know, at the minimum, every 3 to 4 months, I would recommend that. And vitamin D is a fat soluble nutrient. So it's always best to take with food. Okay.
Right. Okay.
And you're looking, yes. And you're looking for vitamin D3.
Yes.
Okay, that's the key one. Vitamin D3. Always take that with meals. Okay, because it's gonna absorb better, and you can break it into two dosages depending on how much you're looking to take. So, for example, I'm 160 pounds, so roughly for me it's somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 IUs. You know, 6,000 IUs or so, right? So if I were to take 1 5,000 IU capsule 2 times daily. You know, that would give me more than enough vitamin D. Okay. Right. And for the most part, even though it is possible to get a vitamin D toxicity, I've been doing this. I've been supplementing people with vitamin D and testing levels for over a decade. I've never seen somebody get vitamin D overdose, taking 10,000 IUs or less.
Right.
So you're
good.
Exactly.
Just take what's on the bottle, but you know, again, just do the calculation. See what you need.
Absolutely. Sure. So that's definitely key. You know, other things I would certainly add a lot of herbs and spices to your foods. Okay.
Yeah.
So things like ginger, fantastic thing to be using. Garlic. Okay. Mm. In fact, doing, you know, chicken soup or like making a really good soup with a lot of garlic and onions, so good for your immune system.
Okay, not good for the breath though, but good for the immune system.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's what you do. You put in a whole lot of parsley.
Right.
So parsley is a bitter herb, really, really good for stomach acid production, bile flow, pancreatic enzyme production, really good for your kidneys, your liver. So it helps optimize your digestion and all your drainage pathways, and it's a natural breath freshener.
Right.
So yeah, so if you have, you know, a soup, let's say like a chicken soup or something like that, lots of garlic and onions in there, you can always throw parsley in it, or you can have some parsley afterwards, something like that. fantastic for your body. You can drink some water with apple cider vinegar in the morning. You get up in the morning, a little water with apple cider vinegar. That's great for regulating your microbiome, which is basically all the different species that are living in your gut. And your gut makes up 80% of your immune response.
Exactly.
So apple cider vinegar is very, very good for nurturing that microbiome, which is very helpful. You can also supplement with things like probiotics. Mm. Probiotics are great. Supplementation for your gut. They've been shown many studies to have a natural antiviral effect, antibacterial effect, right? Help reduce your risk of getting different types of infections. So that's another really, really good supplement. So top supplements, I would say vitamin D, probiotics, zinc, right? And I know you're big with testosterone.
Yeah.
So many people are zinc deficient for a number of reasons. When we're under stress, we deplete more zinc.
Okay.
When we have low stomach acid production, which is really an epidemic, we don't absorb zinc very well. Okay. So if you had a history of like acid reflux, heartburn, perhaps you've taken acid reflux medications, these PPIs, proton pump inhibitors,
yeah.
you're not going to have sufficient zinc levels. And then of course, bad diets are also going to increase. Zinc competes with heavy metals and copper for absorption. Right. And so when you're eating processed foods, those processed foods are higher in copper and other heavy metals that you don't want, things like lead and stuff like that, that you don't want in your system, and you deplete more of your zinc, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to get your zinc primarily from good, healthy meats, right? So meat is your best source, eggs, shellfish, fish in general is a great source of zinc, but you have to be able to digest and absorb it well. So most people think that acid reflux means too much acid, but actually means too little acid. So right. Funk, when you're at rest, your stomach acid is between 3 and 3.5 pH, okay? Which is actually very acidic because water is neutral at 7,
okay.
Right? It's actually very acidic, but in order to digest a steak or some sort of protein, you need to drop that stomach acid from that 3 to 3.5 range down to 1.5 to 2.2, okay? That's actually very energy demanding for your body. It takes a lot of energy in order to do that,
right,
to create that amount of stomach acid. And so for some people, they're not actually able to produce enough acid. And so the food goes in, it sits in their stomach and now starts to ferment. And that ends up causing more gas and the release of the acid into the esophagus, which causes the heartburn.
Okay, so... So most people are 3 to 5, but we need to bring it down.
3 to 3.5. That's right.
3 to 3.5, but we need to bring it down. Well, if you bring it down, then
you digest it well.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you clarified that because sometimes it could be a little confusing.
Totally.
So you need to produce this acid. When you produce the acid, the pH goes down 1.5 to 2.2.
Right.
And then that's right. That's perfect. That's when you break down the protein, you absorb the amino acids more effectively. You absorb the minerals more effectively, like zinc, B12, things like that.
Right.
And it moves through the pyloric sphincter and into your small intestine quicker. If you don't produce that stomach acid, it will sit in your stomach longer and it will start to ferment and create gas that causes the acid that is in there to jump up into your esophagus and burn your esophagus. So getting that acid really starts the whole digestive process.
Right. So how do we bring it down? Like what is?
Well, a couple things. Number one, you want to be in a relaxed state when you eat. Okay. So when you eat, the idea of fast food is a really terrible idea. You know, in our society, we're eating while we're driving, we're eating on the go, you know, we're constantly moving and doing things and we're stressed and we're eating. We need to be relaxed when we eat. When we relax, we take a few deep breaths. That naturally triggers the parasympathetic tone, which allows you to activate your stomach acid and allows you to be able to digest your meal effectively. So being relaxed, being in a state of gratitude, like we were talking about, taking a few deep breaths before you eat. You know, the idea of even saying a prayer, right, is a way of relaxing your body, okay, to now help you digest your food more effectively. So that's a great idea. Having a little bit of apple cider vinegar, which is naturally acidic,
right.
Little apple cider vinegar and water before a meal will help with the acid production, will help you stimulate all your digestive juices. Apple cider vinegar is called a carminative. And all these carminatives, ginger is a carminative, oregano, right, things like that. You want to utilize these in your meals because these will help your body naturally trigger stomach acid. For some people, I'll have them take an inch of ginger root, just a little ginger root. Now it's very pungent, okay? You just chew on that like 5 minutes before your meal. While you're chewing on that, the act of chewing along with the bitterness of that ginger is stimulating stomach acid production.
Okay.
So you're creating the environment that's ripe for breaking down the protein and making it more absorbable. Now, another thing you could do, especially because you need more stomach acid when you're eating meat than when you're eating vegetables. Vegetables, okay, you need more enzymes, right? Mm. So if you're going to have a steak, right? I love steak, grass-fed steaks, one of my favorite foods. So what I like to do is, you know, either do the apple cider vinegar in the meal or put a little bit of apple cider vinegar or lemon or lime on the meat.
Right.
Because
right,
it actually starts pre-digesting it, right? Because the acid's already starting to work and break down that protein before it even gets into your mouth, okay? And then this is probably the toughest of all. Actually chewing your food really well.
I just thought that the other day.
So hard, right? You know, usually we take a couple chomps and then we're swallowing it down.
Totally. Yeah.
But obviously chewing it well is going to really help. Yeah. And then also we want to avoid chewing gum. Chewing gum is one of the worst things you could do for your digestive health.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your body's shutting down your sensitivity to producing the digestive juices. When you chew, your body is thinking, I got food coming in my stomach. I need to create these digestive juices.
Right.
If you're chewing gum all day, you've dulled your senses to that.
Right. Wow. That is massive, actually.
Huge.
That is massive. Because someone just emailed me and asked me about peppermint gum or chewing gum. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't even be chewing gum, period.
Exactly.
All of that is going to destroy
you.
Right.
Now, here's what you do in... Totally. Yeah. And here's what you do instead. You know, don't do Tic Tacs. Don't do, you know, all those things are just chemicals, right? Don't do the gum. Get some fennel seed, right? Just some fennel seed you can pick up at your local grocery store, right?
Yeah.
Just some dried fennel seed. It's very pungent. It's good for your immune system, good for your digestive tract, and it will freshen your breath. So you could do parsley or you could do the fennel seed, okay? And you just take a little bit of that fennel seed, you chew that. That's actually great for your digestion and really good for freshening your breath after a meal.
I love it. Hey, just one question about the apple cider vinegar. Can we put that on anything?
I mean, you really could. Yeah, okay. You really could. I mean, I would say the only thing with apple cider vinegar is you don't want to drink it straight,
Right.
Unless, you know, you could gargle it if you have a sore throat, but in general, you don't want to be doing that because it could, you know, it could burn your esophagus.
Yeah, right.
And also affect the enamel of your teeth. Okay. So that's important.
Water and apple cider vinegar.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Exactly. So that's what you want to do with that.
Okay. So we have the low hanging, we have the mid.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So we could talk about some more advanced strategies for sure.
Yeah. Let's go advanced.
Doing something like a cold shower. Okay. So believe it or not, and doesn't mean like the whole shower is cold, right? But basically at the end of your shower, you turn it cold for 30 to 60 seconds. I do that and I just kind of pump my muscles, right? So I'm just kind of flexing back and forth, getting the blood flow going, right? And that will actually train your body to be more resilient to cold temperatures. You know, a lot of times when the temperature goes down, for example, right? One of the biggest stressors for our body to adapt to is a really sudden change in temperature.
Right.
30 degree drop in temperature overnight. And that's why everybody starts getting sick and colds and fevers because their body doesn't have the resilience built in, right? Or maybe they had resilience, but they were really, really stressed. They didn't sleep well that night. You know, maybe they hadn't eaten as well, you know, and they were more susceptible. So they end up getting sick. And so you make your body more resilient to temperature change by doing something like a cold shower. Okay. Also getting out in the heat, in the humidity, right? And sweating or doing a sauna. So you want to expose yourself to different temperature ranges. So I'm a big fan. I have an infrared sauna. Mm-hmm. I use that. And then every shower, I always finish a shower 60 seconds cold, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say by like 45 seconds, I'm so used to it.
Right.
Right. By that point, it's like my body's adapted to it. You know, that's kind of where you want to be.
I love that you said that, because I just finished. That's one thing that I tell these guys is because I used with the going from changing the weather, like changing from specifically from hot to cold, or that sudden change back when I was in my late 30s, I used to get colds all the time. Like I had to be very aware of that. And then obviously when I started to change my nutrition and everything else, that changed a lot because my immune was a little bit stronger. But then I started adding the cold shower at the end of that, which is what I was talking about. And then I just had Ben Greenfield on the podcast. And he literally said the exact same thing that I've got on the podcast, saying the same thing. Yeah, man, at the end of the shower, just jacking. Now I'm at about 30 to 45 seconds. So I gotta push mine to 60. I gotta get some cold, I gotta get some balls.
Yeah. The downside of doing a full cold is that it's harder to get the soap off. Right. So I always say it's harder to get in, right. Yeah. It's also hard to get in the shower when it's cold. So you get in, it's hot, you do your business in there, and then it lasts, 30 to 60 seconds, boom, you just blast it cold. And that's going to make your body more resilient. You're also going to release a lot of endorphins. You're going to feel great. And actually research has shown it helps boost testosterone too.
Yes.
In fact, pretty much everything we're talking about here will help boost your testosterone. Okay.
Totally.
So because it just makes you, testosterone for a man is about making you harder to kill. Right. And so it's kind of goes hand in hand with your immune system.
Right.
So that's going to really, really help. And then, if you don't have access to a sauna, then as we get into the summer months, get out and, do some of your workouts outside, right?
Yes.
Like me, I play with my kids. Like, I get out there and I play with my kids. And I mean, it's so easy to live all day in an air conditioned environment. Okay. And so getting out when it's hot and making sure you get a good little sweat in. Okay, that is very, very valuable as well, because you want to be adaptable to heat as well as to cold.
Right. Embrace the heat.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly. So that's another great strategy to apply. Other good supplements, I think omega-3 fatty acids are very helpful, right? Awesome. Sticking a good quality omega-3, fish oil supplement, or eating a lot of wild-caught salmon, for example, grass-fed meats, you're going to get a lot of omega-3s and those kinds of things. So that's very, very helpful. Other good things, you could do things like different herbs, for example, like elderberry. And there's been some confusion in the natural health world. Some people think, there was a rumor that elderberry causes cytokine storm, which is one of the mechanisms to which something like COVID kills people, right? Which is basically the immune system being ramped up, but it doesn't actually do that. It's actually an immune modulator. Okay. And elderberry is one of the best things you can take to get your immune system adapted quickly. Elderberry, echinacea, you could drink teas. You can drink herbal teas with these, or you could take supplements with them. Astragalus is another one of these kind of herbs. These are immune adaptogens. So there are stress adaptogens like rhodiola, and ashwagandha, which are great for somebody that's looking to improve their testosterone.
Totally.
Ashwagandha, rhodiola, a huge fan of those. I take those daily. Then there are certain herbs that work a little bit better for modulating the immune system than others, right? Balancing the immune system. So if it's down, the immune system's down, like you didn't sleep well, you were stressed, whatever it was, you're a little bit more immune susceptible, boom, it'll boost you back up. That kind of thing. Or if you're, even if you maybe have like allergies or some sort of an over inflammatory process, it will help bring you back down. Okay. That's going to be things like elderberry, which is really, really good for preventing colds, fevers, different things like that. So elderberry is helpful. Again, you could drink the tea, echinacea. And for those kind of adaptogens, I recommend some sort of rotation. Like don't take those every day. Take those, you might do like, 5 or 10 days on, 5 or 10 days off, or just save them for when you feel like you're a little bit more immune susceptible.
Right.
Okay. Right. So if you went out in public and you're worried about that, take it then. Right.
Okay.
Or if you didn't sleep well, take it then. That kind of thing. Okay. Yeah. So taking some of those herbs like that can be really, really helpful.
Yeah. I remember the echinacea when it first it's been around forever, but I'm sure. But when it first really became, big in public, it was like, okay, if you're feeling sick, take echinacea. If you're feeling run down, take echinacea. Not something you're taking all the time. It's like, oh, get some echinacea. Let's get some echinacea pills or echinacea drops or whatever. There's so much out there in regards to echinacea back in the day that was a big thing before when you were when you were feeling sick. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Vitamin C, another great supplement to take, right? So taking something like 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day, really great for prevention, right? Just great for keeping your immune system strong and healthy. Vitamin C also plays a big role in adrenal function, energy, right? So taking that can be really helpful. Now for men, I don't recommend taking vitamin C with meals. The reason why is that most men, because we don't have menstrual cycles, okay? Yeah. Most men, if we're eating meat, we tend to have higher levels of iron in our system. Right. And if your iron is too high, that can accelerate the aging process, cause more oxidative stress in your system. So actually getting blood work done on a regular basis is a natural way to reduce the overall amount of iron in your system. Okay.
Okay.
So it's actually very healthy, believe it or not. It's actually a health benefit to get to getting blood drawn on a regular basis. And vitamin C increases iron absorption. So taking vitamin C supplementation with meals, not a good idea for a man. For a menstruating woman, it would be a good idea, not for a man. So take it away from meals, take it like first thing in the morning or at night before you go to bed kind of thing. That can be really helpful. And yeah, for a man that's under stress, doing those adaptogens like we talked about, ashwagandha, rhodiola, eleuthero, these kind of adaptogens, these herbs are very resilient. So all of these herbs have been around for thousands of years and have adapted to extreme geographical stressors. Maca is another one. Like maca grows in the Andes Mountains. Rhodiola grows in, you know, in Siberia, for example. And these things have withstood tremendous amount of stressors. And that's the cool thing about plant compounds and plant medicine is that basically the compounds we're isolating, like, or the compounds that give us the beneficial effects from elderberry or from ashwagandha are more or less, you know, the defense system that the plant is using to protect against viruses, bacteria, molds, yeast, right? All these types of things. So they have these compounds. When we consume them, we confer those benefits, right? So we take on those same benefits. And just really, really powerful. Great for brain. I mean, the cool thing is in natural health, these things cross over. So it's not like the benefits aren't isolated to your immune system, right? These things cross over and it's a holistic approach. They're going to help improve all the systems of the body. So all those things can be really, really beneficial here.
That's awesome, man. This is great info. You mean that you've given us the low, you've given us the mid, you've given us some super ways to improve our immune system. I'm trying to use the right word, right? Yep. Strengthen our immune system and keep it there, right? It's going to help us. It's going to prolong our lives. It's going to prolong us. Listen, COVID is only one thing. I'm sure, you know, with this happening, I'm sure there's going to be other things in the next few years or 20 years or 30 years or 50 years or 60 years that we're going to have to deal with. But as long as we're hard to kill, that means we're going to be ready to take on anything and adapt the way we need to. And it's just going to be habitual. It's going to be something that we've already been doing. So it's not like you're, oh my God, I got to start this. It's like, oh, well, I've already been doing this, so I'm good. You know what I mean? Like that's a lot of people who are getting through the COVID-19. I want to thank you so much for being here. This is just the first. We're going to have to do this again because you have a lot of incredible info. But how do people get a hold of you? What are some of the, like, what, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way to reach me is my website, drjockers.com. So just drjockers.com. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you can find me on social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all those things, just Dr. David Jockers.
Awesome. And leave us with a last thing, some wisdom. What would you leave with all of us as the takeaway?
Yeah, I would say this. So your body was created to heal itself. In fact, your body was really created to thrive. And it's doing everything it can every moment of every day to help you live the best life you can. You're either working with it or you're working against it, right? And so the more that you can align with your body's natural God-given abilities, the better off you're gonna be. So all these things we talked about, fasting, right? Eating healthy foods, sleeping, right? Going to bed early and sleeping well. These types of things are all part of our genetic heritage, right? Every human being has fasted and done things like that before. And so these things all work with the way that our DNA and our genetic blueprint designed us, right? And so ultimately, when you start to do that, you're going to start to achieve optimal health. You're going to feel better And, you know, that's going to help move you into your purpose and what God has for you.
I love it. Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it. Dr. Jockers, everyone, thank you so much. And we'll see you again. Hey, it's Funk Roberts here, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of my Over 40 Alpha podcast. Now, before you go, I've got a special gift that I want to give you, and one thing I need to ask you as a member of our podcast family. First, if you haven't already, please claim your free 30-day trial at over40alpha.com. This is a 30-day trial into our Over 40 fitness program that has workouts, nutrition, mindset training, recovery training, everything you need to help you lose weight, to help you burn belly fat, to help you increase your muscle, and of course, naturally increase your testosterone levels and get you into the best shape of your life. So please go to over40alpha.com and join the thousands of men in their 40s, 50s, 60s getting incredible results on a daily basis. And next, as a member of our Over 40 Alpha podcast family, please, if you know anyone, another guy in their 40s, 50s, 60s who can benefit from listening to this podcast, share it with them. And if you can, please leave a review. It really helps us with the podcast. Thank you so much again. Get it done, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts. Former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.